Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell.
So, Lexi Bodum, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, Lexi.
Yeah, you too.
Licensed esthetician premier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up, and we'll get to current state and what you do now.
I grew up in Minnesota. Been here for 10 years, though. Went to high school in Arizona and went straight from high school into aesthetic school, which takes about a year, and been doing that for the last 3.5 years.
Okay. And when you say Minnesota, Minneapolis or outside of Minneapolis?
The suburbs of Minneapolis.
Which suburb are you from?
Well, I went to school in Minnetonka. People know that one more, but yeah. I lived in Chaska.
Okay.
Chanhassen area. Yeah.
And then you took off by yourself or the family?
No, the family came too. The immediate family, parents and brother.
Okay.
Oh, my grandparents were snowbirds out here, but they're out here permanently. Everyone's doing the slow migration thing. They come visit. They like it. They're
got
here.
It.
Yeah.
Got it.
From Minnesota, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're from Michigan, but I can definitely tell you it makes sense.
Yeah.
So did you always know being an esthetician was what you wanted to do? When did you develop this affinity?
When I was in high school, I worked at a massage place, and there was a couple of estheticians that worked there. Didn't do what I do now, but they did facials. So that's how I learned what an esthetician was. It's not really something people talk about in high school. There's a big push to go to college, and there mm-hmm. wasn't a lot of talk about licenses you could get. So if it wasn't for having that job, I don't know if I would have found it, or maybe I would have found it later. I already loved skincare, but I did not look into that as a career mm-hmm. or really think at all that it was what I wanted to do. I think just because I didn't know that I could. And after working there for a couple years, 3 years, I think, started when I was 15, one of my coworkers said, "Oh, you're in aesthetic school, right?" And I said, "No, I'm not. But now that you say that, maybe I want to do that." Mm. So that comment actually got me thinking about it, and decided to not do the college thing and go straight to that because I knew I was passionate about it.
Yeah, that's the thing I like about stories like that is having this one moment where someone says something to you and like there's this light bulb that goes off.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Never thought about that.
Never thought right? about that.
Mm-hmm. And it sets you off in a path, perhaps, or a direction that mm-hmm. you may not have thought about.
Exactly.
And particularly to think about it from a standpoint of, and I really do think, you know, I always think of college as more of an exercise than necessarily something you have to do, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's important if you really want to go and sort of experience something relative to higher education and learn about a particular field or study. But if you find something that you truly want to do,
mm-hmm.
like you know that you're passionate about it, you know there's something you could be really skilled and very good at, and that you could allow you to create a life for yourself that you would enjoy, why
yeah.
not, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of pushback for it because there's so much push to go sure, to absolutely. College yeah. and there's not a lot of people don't see the value in getting licenses like that. But if it's what you love to do, you're going to be good at it and you're going to make money and you're going to have a successful career. The passion, I think, is what's more important.
So people make a lot of assumptions, I think, about what an esthetician is and isn't.
Very much.
So being an esthetician licenses you to do what?
So aesthetics covers skincare. There's also cosmetology. We get mixed up a lot. Cosmetology is mostly hair, but they do cover a little bit of skincare. What we can do, it crosses over a bit. There are some things that cosmetologists can do that I can also do. Waxing and sugaring, what I do, being one of them, they can do that. But for the most part, people that go to cosmetology school, they're doing it because they want to do hair. So they don't kind of come over into our world so much. But aesthetics covers everything skincare. So anytime you go to a spa, any facial treatment, med spas are super popular now, permanent makeup, the microblading, those kinds of things. Some of those things like microblading, you technically don't have to be an esthetician to do. You need other qualifications and classes for that. But because the services fall in that skincare beauty industry category, estheticians tend to gravitate towards that. You don't have to be an esthetician, but I don't know a single microblading artist that's not an esthetician, because it's just kind of part of our world and it can lead you into that. So there's tons of stuff.
That's interesting. The tenant, one of our tenants in our building does microblading.
Yeah, it's huge.
She kills it. She does great. I mean, there's like people coming in that like all day long, every single day.
Yeah.
And
it's not just her, right?
There's other not just her, right? Exactly. Yeah. So she's developed quite a clientele and does really, really well for herself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's blown up in the last. It's very trendy. So when a service becomes super popular, even like if the Kardashians get a certain kind of facial, all of a sudden everybody wants that kind of facial and everyone gets trained on it, or like microblading too. That's come a long way and become really, really huge, but it comes and goes. There's always new things. There's always new products. There's always new technology. Mm-hmm. Laser's another one of them that's blown up too. We can do laser hair removal, but all kinds of laser too. So
permanent eyelashes.
Lash extensions. So you don't that's one you don't have to be an esthetician for either. Actually, technically you could just go take a lash class, but I think they do include it in aesthetics curriculum at some schools. So there's so much that we can do that you don't learn everything in school. There's a lot of things that you get an overview of, and then you have to go take another class, get a certification, get trained on that thing, just hone in on that particular skill and to be able to do it. Or like companies will train for it. So waxing is definitely one of those. You do it once in school, you're not a pro at it. You need more training than that. So companies have their own training protocol. You're licensed when you come in, when they hire you, and then they put you through their training to make sure you really know what you're doing.
Did you say we're doing a waxing demonstration today?
You are.
You?
Not waxing, you're being sugared today.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely not happening.
So everything's not about the face, right? There are other body parts, and it seems like you spend a lot of time engaging with other body parts.
Professionally.
So.
So it's not just face treatments.
Is that where we get to like the best part of the job?
My job, yeah. So I do waxing and sugaring, so hair removal. So that's full body.
So when you say sugaring, I'm sure there are some folks out there who may think, okay, she literally is putting sugar on people and scraping
them. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process, and then maybe we'll get into some more detail?
So sugaring is, so most people know what waxing is and can picture that. So either when you picture waxing, you're thinking of a strip that you're ripping the hair off, or hard wax where you're applying it, it dries, and then you pull that strip off. Sugaring is completely different method of hair removal. A lot of times people get it confused and they'll call it sugar wax. It's not a wax. It's a sugar paste. So it's made of sugar, water, and citric acid. Super simple ingredients. So it's more gentle on the skin because of that, which is something people like about it. But essentially what we're doing is I'll take a chunk of that in my hand. It's moldable. It looks like honey, but it's a little bit thicker than that. So it's not dripping everywhere. And you mold that against the grain of the hair growth. So if your leg hair is growing down, you're molding up a couple times. What we're doing is we're pulling that hair so that it's going the opposite direction, and then you flick it off. So as it flicks off, it's pulling the hair back out the way it was growing.
Got it.
So it's the opposite of wax. Wax, you're applying in the direction of hair growth, pulling out the opposite. So that means there's a couple of things that are different about sugaring. It's less likely to break the hair on the way out, so less ingrowns. It gets the hair better on certain hair types. Generally,
less traumatic. Does it require more frequency, though? In other words,
No, they're the same, because no matter how you're pulling your hair out, it's still going to grow back at the same rate. So you're still coming in about once a month for any waxing. The sugar, though, if you're the person that gets better results from it and gets the shorter hairs out better and gets faster thinning because we're getting more roots out, it can feel like you can go longer because you're going to feel like less hair is coming back. You don't have so much at 4 weeks. But for the sake of keeping those hairs on the same growth cycle and getting a clean service, like we're getting all those hairs, it makes sense to stick with 4 weeks. So they're the same time frame.
Percentage of men to women? they get sugared in their areas?
Well, okay, so I do both, though, waxing and sugaring. And just clientele-wise alone, yeah. So not wax versus sugar, 5% men. There's very few.
That makes sense.
It's mostly women for the most part.
That makes sense.
It's rare that I – today I had two male clients, and that's super rare. Usually I'll see a handful maybe a week. A lot of days I don't have any. So
what are we talking about in terms of timing? Like, how long does this take?
If you're doing a Brazilian, it's different, male versus
What's
female.
Brazilian
is when, so bikini services, you can get bikini line, you can get bikini full. Brazilian is we're taking all the hair from the front to the back.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. So. Yeah, you just, you go for it. So
then, I would imagine hygiene can be an issue for some people.
Definitely. For the most part, I would say people know what they're coming in to get done, so they're pretty conscious about it and respectful about it. I have a lot of clients that they go home and they shower before they come in every time. They will not come straight from work. They plan for that.
Yeah.
Yes, I do hope so. But
I don't think it happens as often as you might think.
And
people are running, right? So I'm sliding in after work.
It's a quick appointment.
I really hope they're not literally running. I mean.
No, we're going to find out. So.
But yeah, it's 15 minutes. So people try and squeeze it in their day. Even their work day, now that so many people work from home, they just come on their lunch break and get it done.
So remote work is great for sugaring.
Yeah, I guess so.
it seems to
be the theme, yeah.
It's got to be some horror stories.
Yeah.
I know some people that literally, when they're pulling up, you're like, oh, Jesus.
I have a few.
Okay.
I have a few.
But you don't like, reprimand or make some suggestions about, like, so next time when you come, can you please, none of that?
No.
You can't do that.
You can't cross that line of it. I would never want, you never know what the other person, how they're going to take it on the other side of things, and I would never want anything that I said to come across as out of line or disrespectful to a client. It's also part of the job.
It could be helpful. Awareness is a beautiful thing.
This is
you
true.
You don't think they're aware, though? See, that's a big debate to me. I think there's awareness and then just not caring. Like, hey, just do what you got to do down there.
Yeah.
Come on.
I still debate.
Who
I still
shows
don't
up,
know.
Who shows up with, Funk Master Flash?
And not know it?
Come on, man. Like, you got to know.
That's my point.
You've been walking around all day long.
That's my point. I think you do know, but just...
You're out here and what?
Forcing people to deal with.
I mean, we're not in 100-degree weather yet, but, it's coming. You're all day long. You've been...
Well, and it's not just the front. You're talking about these Brazilians.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, both sides of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem like you would be, let me go get a shower. I need to go home, make sure I'm, taken care of before
at
I go.
At least just... wipe everything up.
Because if that's important to you, right? Because if the service is important to you, something that you want to have done, it seems you also want to make sure that your cleanliness precedes that whole event.
Exactly. So I think that some people, because you have a point with that, if they're getting a service done, especially a full Brazilian, we're getting rid of all the hair, they're thinking about that, you would think they would be pretty conscious about it. I think that some people, that's true for most people, but some people do it out of almost being lazy, and so they don't have to take care of it themselves because they don't have
to. So in other words, they're showing up. They're showing up to get clean.
They're like, yes, exactly.
Hey, I'm going to get it clean. I don't have to wash my butt today because I'm going to get a Brazilian.
Yeah, I think that's true for some people. And those are the people, the handful of people I can think of that I prepare ahead of time.
Well, I'm assuming you wear a mask.
No.
You don't?
No.
So is there a part of you that...
Not even during COVID? I'm sure during COVID.
Well, during COVID, we wore masks during COVID.
I said that
COVID.
As if the COVID is over. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not currently anymore. That rule has been lifted. But just turn the fan on.
Because I think about, you know, when I get a massage, like, I make sure that I shower before I go.
Mm-hmm. You should.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
You got to be clean, man.
Thank you, right? Somebody's going to touch your body, right? Seems like you want your body to be clean.
I just really think some people don't care. I mean, if it's not a... But these are the same people who are going home to loved ones and jumping in their face. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like
yeah.
people.
I think there's also an element mm-hmm. those people might think, well, she does this all day. This must be...
par for the course, right? This.
Yeah, they might think that it's normal when really everybody else is going home and taking a shower.
You couldn't post a sign. Like,
that's where I was going to go.
We couldn't do that. Like,
nonverbal.
Yeah. Nice little, like,
respect my
little slogan of sorts. That's sort of not offensive.
People eat here. You know what I mean? It's like, put something up.
God.
that takes it away from your responsibility to have to actually say something to someone.
Yeah.
And you could have a little sign in the, you know, in the window when you walk in that kind of gives people a little bit of a hint that perhaps you should come here a certain way.
That makes me think of when leaving a sign about tip, though, too. People, you would think putting that up, like, that 15-20%.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I don't think it's a deterrent. I just think the people that don't care, that weren't already doing it, they're still not going to do it, even if they see that. Or very rarely. I think people who aren't tipping are doing it intentionally, or they're tipping low intentionally, or they just don't care. And there's a few people that might remind, but for the most part, no. I don't know. I feel like people just brush over it. And they would assume it's not them, though, too. The people who don't have good hygiene are probably assuming
so someone
that
who's listening
fine.
Right now.
Someone who's listening right now
who has bad hygiene when they come to get wax or get a sugaring. I'm making sure I'm saying mm-hmm. this the right way. Mm-hmm. But if they showed up right now and they were hearing our conversation, they'd say that's not me.
Yeah, and the people who would listen to this and think, "Oh my gosh, am I that person?" You're probably not. The fact that you even thought about
it.
But why are there question marks? There's no question marks around it. We've all played basketball, done whatever, and we know when we're not at our freshest. Mm-hmm. We also know everybody has a marinade time, right? So it's like at some point, funk sets in.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anybody who's going to be like, wait, can she be talking about me? You know if it's you. Are you wiping your behind just 10 times?
So is that the biggest hazard of the job? That's the biggest hazard?
Yeah, for the most part,
I'm just saying, I mean, every job has its hazards, I would
assume. So have you had to take like a week off because it's just like, I'm traumatized.
No.
Workers' comp?
No. Are you traumatized?
Yeah, the workers' comp claim.
I've never been that traumatized
like
before.
Like, okay.
But also, I'm not doing what I do. I'm the kind of person who's going to be probably less traumatized by that than somebody else coming into it might. I mean, clients tell me all the time, I don't know how you do what you do. I could not do this. And
maybe there's five good ones for every bad one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Five,
yeah. For the most part, people are really good about it. Yeah. And it's nice being years into it. Like I am, I have a lot of regulars on my books too. So the less new people I'm seeing, the better. The people who are regular with it, they're pretty good about it.
Yeah, I think
so. New people isn't traumatizing for you and for them, or just...
Well,
you know, the part I can't get over, though, I mean, just me speaking personally, like, you know, the idea of it just doesn't sit well. Like, I'm going to, no, I can't see it. I just don't understand how that would work.
I think you should just say, hey, I'm just going to clean you up a little bit.
Well, I do every time,
just say it loud, though.
But think about that.
Yeah, I'm just going to clean you up a little
bit. Think about on the receiving end of that. Somebody saying they're going to clean you up a little bit.
Yes, you should be on the receiving end of that if you need to be cleaned up.
I'm just saying.
But I'm so trained to make what I do not awkward that I don't think I have it in me to do that at this point, because so much of my job is making it not awkward for them and making them feel comfortable. And I just
you're just
even
a nice
know.
Person.
I don't
I'd
know
put
if
a
I
gas
could.
Mask on and be like, well, because I should clean you up a little bit here since.
So you know, I'm always thinking about when you talk about certain types of businesses or services, you know, there's a concept of total addressable market, right? Your TAM, which is obviously in this case very broad, yeah, very wide, broad. Like it's massive, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say is the percentage of people who get some type of, they may not come to your particular location, right? Mm-hmm. But they may do this somewhere else. How many people in the population, and I'm assuming there's sort of a demographic that does this, what's the percentage of folks that do this?
Gosh, it's more than you think. And there's not really a demographic for it.
You lined up 10 friends of yours. How many of them would you say get this type of service done at some point?
Like four are doing it regularly. Right. Six or seven will try it at some point.
So you're telling me it's 60 to 70% of people at some point typically do this at over the course of a year.
I would say women, because again, less men. Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And growing, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one of those things that people, or especially women, are having a friend or a family member telling them about it. So the person who's doing it already regularly is talking about it, or it comes up at some point. I think a lot more people want to try it, and it's just in the back of their head that they need a little push to actually do it, or an opportunity, or someone to.
So what's the mindset, right?
What do you mean? The mindset to get.
I'm just saying. Yeah. What's the mindset? You know, seriously, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. What's the mindset? In other words, what are you thinking that says to you, you know what? I need a wax today.
Well, maybe it's coming out of your sugar underwear. I don't know.
I'm just trying to understand what is the impetus for, you know what? It's getting a little
somebody
out of control. Has sugared.
I'm trying to understand, they're removing their hair. But I would assume
before they're doing waxing.
I'm assuming that some people take care of it themselves in some shape or form, right?
Right. So a lot of women are already shaving.
Right. That's exactly.
Exactly.
Right. So what makes you take the next step to go to a professional? I mean, then, I think it's a little different than you could take it from the concept of like I shave my own head. But, you know, every now and then I go to a barber, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Right. There has to be a need to move to something else.
Yeah, but I'm not, I'm shaving my head. I'm not shaving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going.
Right. Well, at some point, maybe somebody says, you got a jungle down there.
But no,
yeah, but you can do it yourself, though. You can take care of that yourself.
But you might not think that. Like if
you can do it yourself.
But not everybody's
thinking that. The first method of hair removal that someone's going to go to, though, if they have a jungle down there, is not going to be waxing, though, probably.
Thank you.
They're probably going to go, especially if they weren't already doing hair removal, they're going to go to shaving first. So there's negatives to shaving, though. I mean, some people, they're fine. They don't have any issues. So they're not going to have so much of that
trimming
motivation.
Trimming or shaving you're talking about?
Shaving. Shaving to the
down
skin.
Down to the skin. See, to the skin. Now, who does that, though?
A lot of women.
He said trimming and shaving.
Well, trimming is just cutting the hedges. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like.
But even people who are trimming are cleaning up. They're probably shaving to the skin on their bikini line so they can wear a swimsuit. And
okay, let's just be real about this. All right.
Okay.
Let's just speak real. Don't be scared of
I'm super curious. I'm trying to get the.
Like, I'll trim my underarm here.
Right.
Okay. Do you trim your underarm here?
From time to time, but not always.
So you don't. You don't.
No, from time to time,
you I get the trim or you
shaver.
Don't.
Not I, when
if
I,
somebody
when
says
I think
to
about
you.
It. Yeah, you know, get the razor out and you know, yeah.
You believe?
Yeah, he forgets about it, and then
he forgets about it
two or three times a year. He's like, okay,
I don't have
about
a body hair though. I don't.
Okay.
So I don't have the need isn't there all the time. I just don't have. I don't grow a lot of body hair.
But trimming is completely different than shaving to the skin. Trimming, you're not going to have any skin irritation. You're not going to have any. There's nothing really is going on with your skin at all. You're just cutting the hair. But when you're shaving to the skin, you're cutting that hair off blunt right at the surface. And sometimes with a lot of razors that have multiple blades, it can cut it just below the surface. So you're getting a nice clean shave, but then that blunt hair gets stuck. Now you've got an ingrown.
Better make sure the
now you've got
clean
razor bumps.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things
Again,
that come with it.
I'm just trying to understand the need, right? Because you can do this, you know, you can trim, to your point. You can trim on your own, right? But then it's kind of like what I'm always trying to
from understand. A man's perspective, why are you asking? Because there's a difference.
No, yeah. I'm saying there's a difference. I'm not talking about for us.
Right? So you saying just for
I'm
women?
Asking a question because I don't. I'm just trying to get knowledgeable and understand. Yeah. Because sometimes I wonder. You know, this is the commercialization that I think that occurs a lot of times in our society, which is, you know, I often wonder why women do what they do when it comes to beauty, when it comes to, you know, self-care. And I always wonder, is that because you want to do something to take care of something that's important to you physically, to yourself? Or is this something that is driven by an expectation by mm-hmm. men, right? Like
yeah,
makeup, eyelashes, like
all of it can be both.
I'm just trying to
both. Cause a lot of
I think it's driven like somewhere.
It's true.
That's what I'm kind of the root of it. Is the root of right. it really about I want to do something for me to take care of me and my body and to feel, you know,
yeah.
clean or whatever.
Right, right.
I'm just trying to understand which one is it.
Yeah, particularly with getting Brazilians done, it's going to be different person to person, again, depending on what kind of skin issues they have, if any, if they have some kind of negative that's pushing them to seek out another way to do things. But I think that... there's that societal expectation for sure, an expectation from men that's just at a certain level there for everybody. But a lot of it is that they
so are we
they
walking want around to. Saying, hey, are we walking around saying, oh, do partner, friend?
I don't think it's
have men. You. Taking care of that this week? I mean, are we saying that?
Well, there's there's trends. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's obviously trends. Oh, so, and the trend
hey, baby,
right now
I heard
the
that the latest thing
years,
now is sugaring.
No, but that's not
how it works.
The trend with hair. For the last 10 or so at least years, being hair-free is the trend.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's
how did that become the thing? Did you read in the magazine? Is it Hollywood? Well,
but it comes... Yeah,
but it
starts for women as teenagers.
Like, how did that become a thing?
Nobody's ever. There's no point, I don't think, in a woman's life where you're consciously thinking, "Okay, this is the societal expectation. I guess I'll go do that." You're just kind of brought into it, and you just do it. And
is it because of the things you read? Is it because of the conversations you're having
with
your friends?
Your parents do it. Your mom does.
What is
the driver? Yeah, I think it's mom a lot of the times, too.
Are you reading Cosmopolitan too much? Or is it Elle? I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
That's driving you to understand that this is the cultural norm.
I'm sure there's a social.
And that now I need to.
It's media. It's parents.
How's it social media? Oh, I'm not on social media, so I have no idea.
Well, like she just talked about the Kardashians can bring popularity to things and that. But my question is more around
I've never seen it on ESPN.
Do you think the same factors drive a man to do it as a woman?
No. There's not that same expectation.
What's the difference? Why would a man want a Brazilian, you think?
That's a good question. Some of them, yeah, they want that hair free. Some of them it's just they don't like the hair themselves. It's not about anyone else not wanting the hair. It's that they just hate hair. I have a couple clients like that. They just, they're like, I don't want to deal with it.
I could go with that.
And once you do it.
No, I can understand that though.
And once you do it too, it is one of those things that regardless of what, you know, societal expectations, your own, your partner's, family, whatever, that gets you into stuff like this, that you're shaving and then you go to waxing and sugaring. And a lot of the times, it's better. You're getting a better result. It's lasting longer. So you like that. You don't want to go back to shaving. So once you've done it, you like the result, less to deal with. You come in once a month, you get it done. So
do you use a razor on your head? See, I think it's similar to that. Yeah. I used to use a
head blade.
Electric. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now I use a
same.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you move to the next best thing, you're not going to go back to the other thing. And that's how like shaving to Brazilians happens. And it's you have a problem or you have a friend or somebody telling you about it. You get in the door. Once you get in the door, you get that first one done, get over the fear, the pain, all of that. Then it's kind of a no-brainer for the most part for people, especially if you're wanting no hair. It's the way to go.
Now, these
people
things
don't
you can
go
do
back.
Yourself too?
What do you mean? On
can you do these techniques to yourself?
I can. Yes.
She said she can. I guess she's talking about, like, are you talking about the average?
No. I was talking about.
Yeah, okay. I can. Okay. Yeah, okay. I can. I would not recommend doing it at home. No, not at all. But yeah, I do all of my own waxing or sugaring, except for Brazilian. I will have a coworker do that because it's just way easier to have someone else.
But you absolutely see the value in that in terms of, like, for yourself. For mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah,
for
you. I also promised myself when I started doing it that I was going to, I always needed to be doing a Brazilian for the most part and other waxing and sugaring to remind myself of the pain that I'm putting other people in, to keep me in check with, remind myself that I need to make people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm, and I swear every month it reminds me too, I get it done and I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I do to people all day long. And it gets me back on that, back into tune with, I'm actually putting them through pain. And as much as this is just me going, doing my thing,
and
getting it done.
Yourself before you.
Well, I think we've established that.
No. Yeah. I mean, you may have a different take.
Well, what if she's doing, I don't know. Yeah, well.
Every single client I'm wiping down. But yes. You have to clean the skin before you do this too. Your pores are going to be open when you're done.
What's the pain on a scale of 1 to 10?
You can't really put it on a 1 to 10 scale because there's way too many factors that go into pain individually for each person.
Okay, fair enough.
And hair alone.
But for how
long?
Like, in other words, is it like one of these things where it's a stinging in the moment?
Yeah.
Or
and then it's
something
done.
That lasts? Like,
it does not last.
You're like walking around for the rest of the day. Like
in
pigeon
pain.
Toes.
I'll be here in a minute.
Not at all. No, once it's done, it's done. Yeah, okay. And people are surprised by that too, but they're thinking so much about the anticipation that when it's over, there's that sense of relief. Oh, it's over. It's done. I'm not going to be in pain. I mean, your skin might be a little tender for a day on your first few times, but after that, you can go about business as normal.
Well, you should be in PR if you're not in this world, because you present it in a way that makes everybody kind of want to try it. Hey, it's probably going to be okay.
Did you say everybody?
Yeah.
We'll work on you. People. We'll get there.
Nah. Eyebrows. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
where
it stopped.
No, look.
Everything else I take care of myself.
Nah. I mean, I like, you know, good manicure, pedicure from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That. Yeah.
Hands down. No question. In for that all day long. But
yeah.
Wax? I don't see it.
It's, yeah. Well, no. It depends. There's. You
good
can
shower.
Get anything done.
Good shower, keep it clean, you know, trim up as you need to.
Beyond I think is the opinion of a lot of men. There's just that question of where's the need? I don't feel the need to do anything different. Which is why they don't end up in the salon getting it done, which is fine.
Yeah, and not to mention, you want to put your, stuff like out there? I mean, come on.
What do you mean?
Your stuff out there. You got to put it out. You got to,
your business.
You got to be able to see it.
To wax it.
To wax it.
What's wrong with that? It's a treatment. It's like going to the doctor or something, right?
Some of us are a little bashful.
You're bashful?
Well, I didn't say that. I just said some of us are. for all those bashful
would that,
people
would that
out
stop
there.
You from going in?
Yeah,
I think it does
for
a lot. Also, a lot of men, there's not that need, and they cannot fathom the idea of coming in and getting spread eagle on the table. So,
no, that's exactly. Thank you for saying spread eagle, because I really was trying to avoid saying that word.
Spread eagle.
Thank you. What do you
now,
think?
Now, where does that come into it?
What do you expect? Absolutely,
you got
spread
eagle. We're
getting rid of all the
like
hair.
Butterfly.
Oh come on, man.
Yeah,
come on. Can we,
butterfly.
No,
butterfly.
I really hadn't envisioned that.
Butterfly, right. Knees up to your chest. Yeah.
Man, no, not the your. Whole. Now you see. Now you cut
what
the whole.
What did you think? What
out.
Did you think?
It takes
there's no.
Type
there
of
is no modesty. You have to be able to walk in and.
Like we
not
talk a lot about vulnerability.
Shy.
That's a little beyond vulnerability.
My shyness wouldn't stop me from being butterflied.
Well, that's good for you. A lot
saying,
of people are
willing. No, I'm not saying that's not the reason I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
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 Just that's.
Well, a lot
no,
of this
no,
is.
No. Forget about shy. That's not the point, too. It's not shy. It's like,
yeah, that's what I'm
it's
saying.
It's like the idea that you're just out there.
Yeah.
Like when there's a fire or something.
Yeah, like,
wait a minute.
Okay. No. Okay.
No, yeah. A lot of people say that on their first time, and that's something that I almost can't really relate to anymore, because what I do is this all day long, and it doesn't, I don't even think twice about the idea of like, oh, what's the big deal? But that's the kind of person that I am. That's why I decided to do this.
That's why you're a pro.
Person that didn't think it was a big deal to, I mean, in my class in school, I was the one who was the demo for Brazilian. So I was like, yeah, I'll get undressed in front of my whole class. I really don't care. Everyone else seemed to care. And then I was noticing, okay, maybe I should do this because everybody else seems to have this hesitation around it and I don't, which makes me better at making people feel comfortable doing it because a lot of people do have that hesitation.
You just volunteered, jumped up there, spread.
Yeah.
Butterfly.
Yeah, nobody else wanted to do it. I said, I'll do it.
Well, yeah. This is a great conversation. I'm glad we picked this up. I know we're running out of time.
But, has it changed your perspective on it at all?
No. Okay. No, it's interesting and enlightening, and I'm happy because I'm always happy to learn more things about areas that I'm not well-versed or don't know much about. So from that perspective, I'm grateful and I always am. But in terms of my interest in actually participating, that would be a no.
Well, I think we're going to have her back and somebody's gonna get sugar.
Yeah, we'll figure out. What if we got myself, and then
She's gonna jump.
Oh, I know. No, I just heard that. I was trying to offer something different. Like maybe Jay. Yeah. Maybe Jay would come in and volunteer. You think Jay would volunteer?
No, I'll just do a little piece on all of our arms.
Okay, I'm in for that.
Okay.
I don't have any hair on my arms though. That's the problem.
That's okay. It'll be easy then.
Yeah. So, all right.
You'll get to experience it, at least.
So listen, this has been wonderful. And, you know, you're a consummate professional. And it's nice to hear from someone who treats it very seriously. Because when I think about it, it's something that's a little foreign to me. But I've always been a groomer. Pedicure, manicure, brows, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. But literally, like, no, like babying me, like no hair on me. I can't envision that. So,
no.
But anyway, it's been great having you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us on The Conscious Vibe.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.